Aiming to be heart attack proof. Let's leave Dr. Ornish's California Research Center and take a short trip to Ohio to meet Anthony Yen. He grew up in China, where his family members routinely lived to a ripe old age. For them, heart disease, weight problems, diabetes, cancer, and high blood pressure were virtually unheard of. They dined on rice, noodles, and vegetable dishes of various kinds, and used meat as no more than a flavoring, the way some might use bits of onion, garlic, or pine nuts. In 1949, as a young man, Anthony moved to the United States and slowly gave up his traditional Chinese diet in favor of an American one. As the years went by, he gradually gained weight, like many of his American friends, and he started to develop heart problems, which steadily worsened. Ultimately, he needed surgery, a quintuple heart bypass. Then he was lucky enough to join a program for heart patients run by a surgeon at the Cleveland Clinic. Caldwell Esselstein, Jr., M.D., aimed to get cholesterol levels so low that heart disease would stop in its tracks. He prescribed a vegetarian diet without dairy products or added oils. He showed patients how to cook and even occasionally hosted group dinners that featured home-cooked foods. He added medications only if a patient's cholesterol level did not fall below 150 milligrams per deciliter with diet alone. The program worked. Dr. Esselstein's patients became practically bulletproof. Although they were in bad shape when they arrived, no one who adhered to the program had any sort of recurring heart problem. Anthony's cholesterol level improved dramatically. He lost weight and felt better than he had in years. In 1991, and again in 1997, Dr. Esselstein called American cardiologists together for the Summit on Cholesterol and Coronary Disease. He put forward his belief that physicians need to promote healthier diets. If doctors continue to prescribe only modestly effective diets, he said, their patients will be stuck with endless prescriptions, operating rooms will remain busy with angioplasties and coronary bypass surgeries, and medical costs will continue to soar. Dr. Esselstein was right. As Anthony Yen, his other patients, and a growing number of physicians can attest. Special effect foods. By now, you know which foods to avoid. By skipping animal products and added oils, you will sidestep cholesterol and the fat that can drive cholesterol levels up. Of course, you want to avoid these foods anyway in order to improve diabetes. There are foods that you might want to add to your diet, though, because they can actually lower your cholesterol or protect against the damage that cholesterol can cause. Oats, beans, and barley contain soluble fiber that reduces cholesterol levels. You have no doubt heard that oatmeal, Cheerios, and other oat products have this effect, and they have become popular for exactly that reason. But do not forget the cholesterol-lowering power of the humble bean, which also contains soluble fiber. Eating a 4-ounce serving of beans every day cuts cholesterol levels significantly. People who eat beans regularly have cholesterol levels that are on average about 7% lower than those of other people. Their LDL cholesterol is usually about 6% lower, their triglycerides average 17% lower, and their HDL, good cholesterol level, is about 3% higher, all of which are good changes. Soluble fiber is also found in many vegetables and fruits. Soy products have a special cholesterol-lowering effect. Aside from the fact that they have no cholesterol or animal fat, there is something about soy protein that brings down cholesterol a bit further. If your burger is made of soybeans instead of beef, you will not only skip beef's cholesterol and fat, you will also get an extra cholesterol-lowering benefit. Certain nuts, such as almonds and walnuts, lower cholesterol too. Yes, they are as high in fat as other nuts, but somehow they have an ability to reduce cholesterol levels that has not been fully explained. In studies, eating 3 ounces a day for 4 weeks has shown a measurable effect. I do not recommend that you make nuts a regular part of your diet, however. Despite their cholesterol-lowering effect, they are so fatty that they will make weight loss difficult and may interfere with your efforts to improve insulin sensitivity. Some margarines incorporate natural plant stanols, or sterols, that work almost like drugs, blocking the absorption of cholesterol from the small intestine. Benecol Light Spread, for example, contains plant stanols derived from pine trees, mixed into a spread made with canola and soybean oils. See www.benecol.com. You can use it in baking and frying if you like. It is not a low-calorie or low-fat spread, though. 1 tablespoon has about 50 calories. Like nuts, margarines can interfere with your weight loss efforts. Garlic may lower cholesterol, too, although not all studies are in agreement. In those that have shown an effect, the amount used was 1/2 to 1 clove per day. Fruits and vegetables are not only cholesterol-free and very low in fat, their beta-carotene, vitamin C, and vitamin E can actually reduce the damaging effects of cholesterol in your blood. Here's why. As cholesterol particles glide along in your bloodstream, those that enter artery walls and cause plaque buildup are the ones that have become slightly damaged or oxidized. Beta-carotene, vitamin C, and vitamin E actually protect the cholesterol particles from damage, so they go on their merry way without harming you. You will find huge amounts of beta-carotene in orange vegetables such as carrots, yams, and pumpkins, but there is also plenty in green leafy vegetables. Vitamin C is in citrus fruits, of course, but also in many other fruits and vegetables, and whole grains, vegetables, and beans are healthful sources of vitamin E. At the University of Toronto, Dr. David Jenkins took this approach to its ultimate conclusion. He reasoned that if a vegan diet, that is one with no meat, dairy products, or eggs, lowers cholesterol levels, if soluble fiber, such as that in oat bran, lowers cholesterol, if certain nuts lower cholesterol, if soy products lower cholesterol, and if plant sterols lower cholesterol, then what would happen if he prescribed them all at the same time? He devised what he called a portfolio diet, which included all of these elements, and found that the combination led to a 29.6% drop in LDL cholesterol in just 4 weeks, which is similar to the effect of cholesterol-lowering drugs. Controlling cholesterol step by step. Let's summarize what the research tells us about the ideal cholesterol-lowering diet. Here are the keys. 1. Skip animal products. You will want to avoid meat. That means no red meat, no chicken, and no fish, dairy products, and eggs. Avoid them entirely, and you will eliminate all the animal fat and cholesterol from your diet. You already know this is important for diabetes, and it is just as important for your heart. 2. Keep vegetable oils to a minimum. To trim the oil from your diet, skip the oily dressings, fried foods, and foods prepared with extra oil. Read the labels on packaged foods. If you spot animal products or partially hydrogenated oils in the ingredients list, do not buy the food. And if there are more than 2 to 3 grams of fat in a serving, skip it. 3. Add special effect foods. The best of these are oats, beans, and soy products. They are filling, but modest in calories, and they really do bring your cholesterol down. It is easy to add special effect foods to your routine. Oats. Start your day with a bowl of old-fashioned oatmeal. Top it with cinnamon if you like, but skip the milk and sugar, or use soy milk. Beans. Like oats, beans are high in soluble fiber, which lowers cholesterol. Baked beans, black beans with salsa, pinto beans wrapped in a tortilla, all are loaded with soluble fiber, protein, and all-around good nutrition. The humble bean has even become quite chic, with some growers specializing in beautifully colorful heirloom varieties. Soy. It is easy to bring soy milk into your routine. You will also want to learn about the many other forms of soy, low-fat tofu, tempeh, textured vegetable protein, and many others. Some people are a bit tentative about tofu until they taste it properly prepared. Then they come to love it. For all soy products, read the labels and choose those lowest in fat. With these changes, most people can expect to see major results. Diets that eliminate cholesterol and animal fat, vegan diets, keep oils low, and use special effect foods typically achieve a 20 to 40% reduction in bad cholesterol. 4. If you are overweight, follow the weight loss guidelines described in Chapter 6. Each pound you lose cuts your total cholesterol by about 1 milligram per deciliter. The effect is gradual, but important. And 5. Exercise. When your doctor gives you the green light to exercise, you will find it enormously helpful. Exercise will not lower your total cholesterol, but it will increase HDL cholesterol, and that improves your overall health profile. Regular exercise, a brisk 30-minute walk 5 times a week or a 1-hour walk 3 times a week, also helps keep your blood pressure under control. Work with your doctor to set exercise goals based on your current health. Refer to Chapter 11. Sizing up your progress. It is easy to see if the program is working. Follow it carefully, and after about 8 weeks, ask your doctor to check your cholesterol level. If you have not quite reached the goals you set for yourself, take a close look at what you've been eating. How well have you followed the program? If you really did follow it carefully and your cholesterol failed to budge, you are probably one of those uncommon individuals whose genes really are driving up their cholesterol levels. If diet alone proves insufficient, follow your doctor's advice, which may include cholesterol-lowering medications. Some doctors believe that medications have value even when cholesterol levels are normal. Research is underway to test this possibility. Jumping into oatmeal. Rick, whom you met earlier, did very well with his diet changes despite his initial reservations. He learned how to make quick and hearty vegetable soup from a dried soup mix to which he added tomatoes, cucumbers, sweet potatoes, and whatever other vegetables he had on hand. He often cooked pasta and usually used canned marinara sauce for convenience. He also included plenty of salads and cooked vegetables. Eating out was a challenge for him until he discovered that ethnic restaurants had plenty of options. Speaking up helped, too. Most restaurants gladly made him a vegetable plate when he asked for it. He figured out which fast food restaurants had veggie burgers or salad bars and where he could get a respectable bean burrito. He took a shine to what he called fake meats, bologna, ham, and other deli slices made of soy protein, which he used in sandwiches with sliced tomato, lettuce, and Dijon mustard. Sometimes he had a simple meal of beans and rice or a packaged rice dish, curried rice, rice pilaf, and so on. He also became quite fond of couscous. For breakfast, he jumped into oatmeal, figuratively speaking, and kept bananas and other fruits on hand, both at home and at work. While he found the diet surprisingly easy, he ran into a stumbling block at the beginning. He served himself modest portions and resisted going back for seconds. That felt like cheating. As a result, he often felt hungry. The fix? He simply ate more. On another occasion, he took my advice to eat beans a bit too far and had an episode of gastric distress. He cut back on his bean serving sizes for a bit and was fine. His wife gradually adopted a vegetarian diet, too. In the process, she lost a substantial amount of weight and had more energy than she had had in years. By the time Rick came in for his follow-up blood test, he had totally adapted to the diet. He was thrilled with the results. In 3 months, his cholesterol had dropped from 210 to 145, with an LDL well below 100. And this was the same man who had started out saying what he really needed was different genes. "You know, this isn't a diet," he said. "This is a way of living, and it just feels right to me. I'm never going back to the way I used to eat. This is it." Raising good cholesterol. The cholesterol in high-density lipoprotein, HDL particles, is called good cholesterol for only one reason. It is on the way out. HDL particles scour your artery walls, picking up cholesterol and eliminating it, like tiny sanitation trucks carrying away garbage. If your HDL is low, the following steps will help you boost it. 1. Exercise. As you saw earlier, regular aerobic exercise does not have any appreciable effect on LDL cholesterol, but it can boost your HDL by about 10%. 2. Bring on the beans. People who eat beans or other legumes daily average a 3% higher HDL value compared to that of other people. 3. Eat plenty of fruits and vegetables. The vitamin C they contain appears to increase HDL too. 4. Avoid partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. These oils do exactly the opposite of what you would like. They raise LDL cholesterol and reduce HDL. Be sure to read the fine print on labels, especially on pastries and snack foods. 5. Lose weight. A welcome side effect of a low-fat vegan diet is weight loss, which in turn boosts HDL. The diet program described in this book will help you. 6. If you smoke, stop. Quitting smoking boosts HDL. Reducing triglycerides. Triglycerides is a technical term for fat in the bloodstream. The word triglyceride is derived from the fact that when your body transports fat molecules from one place to another, it generally attaches 3 fat molecules to a glycerin molecule, hence triglyceride, before sending them into the watery environment of the bloodstream. Lowering triglycerides is a good idea, as it will probably reduce your risk of heart problems. It's usually easy to do. Take another look at the steps just described for boosting HDL, especially weight loss, exercise, and introducing beans and other legumes into your menu. These steps will also cut triglycerides. Simply including beans in your daily menu is a surprisingly powerful step that trims triglycerides by as much as 17%. Also take one additional step. Avoid sugar, white bread products, and other high GI foods, as discussed in Chapter 4. These foods seem to raise triglycerides, while low GI foods that are rich in fiber seem to lower them. You will probably see a big drop in your triglycerides. Getting the upper hand on homocysteine. Homocysteine is a protein building block, an amino acid, that is normally found in small amounts in the bloodstream. If the amount in your blood is high, over 10 micromoles per liter, it may indicate an increased risk of heart problems, just as a high cholesterol level can. The benefits of reducing homocysteine are not yet established, but the steps that reduce it are all helpful. So, here's how to go about it. Certain vitamins, folic acid and vitamins B6 and B12, help to eliminate homocysteine. You will find plenty of folic acid and vitamin B6 in beans, vegetables, and fruits. Plant-based food sources of B12 are limited to supplemented products such as fortified soy milk and cereals like Total, Product 19, and Kellogg's Corn Flakes, nutritional yeast, and a few other foods. In addition to having plenty of fruits and vegetables in your diet every day, the following is a sensible regimen. 1. A multivitamin each morning. This will provide adequate folic acid, vitamin B6, and vitamin B12. Any brand is fine, but it should be free of iron since we now know that excess iron can increase the risk of heart problems. 2. A 400 microgram folic acid supplement each evening. This will boost your folic acid. If you prefer, you can take a second multivitamin that includes folic acid. One solution to many problems. If you have been following along, you have probably come to this happy conclusion on your own. You do not need one diet for diabetes, another for cholesterol control, and a third one for weight loss. A diet that skips animal products, keeps vegetable oils low, and favors high-fiber, low-GI foods tackles all these problems at the same time. Just as a drop in cholesterol is good for your heart, a drop in A1C is too. People who keep their glucose under good control have fewer heart problems as the years go by. The same diet changes also help control your blood pressure, partly because they can cause you to lose weight, and as your weight falls, so does your blood pressure. But the effect of vegetarian diets on blood pressure goes beyond their effect on weight. Plant-based diets are rich in potassium, which seems to reduce blood pressure. The absence of animal fat also reduces blood viscosity, that is, blood is less thick, less like grease and more like water, so it flows more easily through the blood vessels. For many people, the effect of diet changes rivals or exceeds that of medications. If, for whatever reason, your cholesterol, blood pressure, or blood sugar does not come under good control despite your best efforts, your doctor will rightly prescribe medications to take up where diet leaves off.